Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10:4. Psalm 121:3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121:3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121:3. Psalm 36:8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36:8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36:8. Psalm 36:9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing how important it is to be in harmony with our Lord as we study these magnificent truths. We realize that the greatest thing that you and I can do as a believer is to advance on a daily basis. And that simply means that we're in the process of constructing or building the edifice or the spiritual house of the soul. We've talked about this many, many times, the invisible spiritual house of the soul. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity again to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the magnificent Word of God. We believe that you have a purpose and a plan for our existence. We believe that we have responsibility as we live each day. So we pray again that we will understand that there are so many things for us to learn. And as we study the Word of God day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we're able to grow and to advance and be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. Thank you for the congregation. Thank you for the church family. Thank you for the fact that you love us and care for us. We pray that you will bless and guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you see Ephesians 4:11, which says, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers. Now, we understand when we look at Ephesians that there's a reason for the calling of these individuals. If you'll notice now, verse 11 says he gave some apostles, then down to 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You can see that the responsibility of the minister is to proclaim the Word of God. It is the responsibility of each individual to advance spiritually, and that we have the responsibility of being equipped, as you see in verse 12, equipped as saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature individual, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. If you'll notice Ephesians 4:11, we've already analyzed a little bit of it, and it says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers. So you can see that we have, first of all, an emphasis upon the word, he gave some apostles. On the screen now, I'm going to put some words for you to see, and I feel like it'd be helpful. If you want to write these down, it would be fine. The word, first of all, is apostolos, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. And that emphasizes an apostle as an ambassador, one who is sent, one who has a delegated responsibility. So if you want to put down a definition for the word apostle, first of all, put down an ambassador, one who is sent, a delegated authority. So you have the Greek word apostolos. Another emphasis here is taking that word apostolos and breaking it down to see what you have. You will notice that it is a compound form, a compound word. We have APO at the beginning, which is a preposition or a prefix here, which means from. And then the latter part of the word is STELLO, which is the word which means to send. So it emphasizes from sin, one who is sent from. And then the verb is a cognate, which is apostello, A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. Notice the difference in the form here, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, which is a compound word, send from, and then the verb to send out. Now, what we need to do is to, first of all, determine how God chose and used his apostles. We're going to give you some points. First of all, an apostle of Jesus Christ was the highest official in the local churches. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll go down to verse 28 and see what we have there. You'll notice it says, And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongue. Then he asked the question, are not apostles? Are they? Are they not prophets? Are they not all prophets? Are they? Are they not all teachers? Are they? Are they not all workers of miracles? Are they? All do not have gifts of healing? Do they? All do not have or speak in tongues? Do they? All do not interpret? Do they? Then he says, but earnestly desire the greatest gift and show you a still more excellent way. What I've discovered in my study over the years is that when you come to the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then you move into the first verse of chapter 13, you see an emphasis upon the fact that the Spirit of God is saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And you'll remember that the beginning of the first service today, we gave information on the more excellent way. When you look at verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, you can immediately see that there's a transition between the last verse of chapter 12 and the first verse of chapter 13. Most of us have, through the years, concluded that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has been defined as the love chapter. I believe that that is a good classification, but I also believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the emphasis upon the filling of the Holy Spirit chapter. So I just want you to understand that we're looking now at the verse of Scripture, which emphasizes, and you'll see it here, he gave some apostles, and then we emphasize that apostle of Jesus Christ was the highest official in the local churches in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Apostleship was a spiritual gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. This is an important point for us to see, and that is that the gift of apostleship was a spiritual gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Also, it's important for you to see this third point, and that is the original apostles were already saved and received their spiritual gift on the day of Pentecost. And this is emphasized in 1 Corinthians 12:11, our scripture, Ephesians 4:11, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. It would be good for you, if you have not understood this clearly, to write down this particular statement. The original apostles were already saved and received their spiritual gift on the day of Pentecost. 1 Corinthians 12:11, Ephesians 4:11, which is our passage today, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're going to spend some time now on the subject of apostleship. I'm going to give you some points, and I would like for you, if you will, please, to write these down. Apostleship, number one. God used apostles for recording His Word. There are various ways that we see in the Scripture that God used the apostles, but we see one way God used apostles for recording His Word. God used, for instance, the Apostle John. We have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation. We're all familiar with these writings from the hand of John by the influence of the Spirit of God. Also, we discover that the Apostle Paul is a person whom God used in a magnificent way to write so many of the New Testament books. Most of you are aware of the fact that this morning we gave you the dates of the writings of various books, the New Testament books. And all of us are aware of the fact that when you go to Acts chapter 7 and 8, there's an emphasis upon what took place in relationship to the preparation for the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. All of us are familiar with Acts chapter 9, which is an emphasis upon how beautiful and magnificent this Jew was converted, and how God moved magnificently in his life. We discover that God used the Apostle Paul to be the messenger to the Gentiles. Most of us by now have an understanding of the timeline, and we understand the age of grace, the church age, the age from Pentecost all the way over to the rapture of the saints. We understand where we live right now. We're living in a wonderful, magnificent time called the church age, the age of grace, from Pentecost all the way over to the rapture of the saints. So we discover then that God used apostles for recording His Word. God used the Apostle Paul in a magnificent way, and all of us have studied over the years so many of these magnificent books from the hand of the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul. I'm going to interrupt myself to tell you something right now. I'm going to let you know that we've been studying the book of Ephesians for a good long while. We are in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and if you will look, you will discover that there's another chapter that comes after Ephesians 4. I have come to the conclusion, and I'm still thinking about this very seriously, that when I get to the last verse of chapter 4, we're going to have an interlude. We're going to insert some messages from the Old Testament, and what has hit my mind in recent days is so magnificent and wonderful, and that is some messages from the book of Daniel. So I just wanted you to know that this is entering my mind, and the Lord leads, I will go this way. If not, we'll continue with Ephesians chapter 5 when we finish Ephesians chapter 4. I feel like that all of you have been so great and good listeners and been very faithful in attendance, and not only faithful in attendance, but your mind has been captivated with the verses of Ephesians, and we are appreciative of that very much. But I felt like it might be good for us along the way to have a little change. And so I thought, what will I do? There are so many things that I could go to in the Old Testament. I would enjoy the Psalms. I would enjoy Proverbs. But I thought I would take about 7 or 8 or 10 sermons from the book of Daniel. And so if that's okay with you folks, I don't hear any rebuttals. So we're going to look in that direction when we finish the fourth chapter. We're not through now with the fourth chapter, so don't rush too fast. But you can study and read the book of Daniel, if you will. You'll find some interesting things. The apostleship, number one, God used the apostles for recording his word, like John and like the apostle Paul. Number two, the last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. I don't know what all this does to you when I say certain sentences like that one. The last temporary spiritual gift to cease was apostleship. I trust that in your mind, you're thinking about the various gifts and the pre-canon spiritual gifts, and you're taking a look at that, and you're able to see how and when God moved on individuals and the writings of these various New Testament books, which we gave you rapidly this morning. I trust that you're able to see, as you look down that list of dates, you saw writings in relationship to the Apostle John. You looked at the book of Revelation and you saw the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, 96 A.D. I trust that in your mind you have a section of the church age with a division. And there is a first division called the pre-canon, the second division called post-canon. I trust that all of you fully comprehend and understand what I say, what I mean by the presentation of the pre-canon and post-canon time of the church age, the age of grace. I don't want to insult your intelligence because I really believe that most of you fully comprehend what I'm saying. However, just for a little sake of review, let's understand that Jesus Christ came on the scene. We understand that Pentecost came. We understand that various things are taking place from 30 A.D. to 96 A.D. During that time, we have that they did not have the completed canon of Scripture. They did not have the completed Bible. And so God used individuals and their various writings, especially the use of the Apostle Paul, with all of these various books other than the writings of the Apostle Paul, that take us all the way over to 96 A.D. with the wonderful book of Revelation. We said this morning, and we repeat now, that scholars will tell us that John the Apostle probably lived to 117 A.D. So that would mean then that the last book of the New Testament was in 96 A.D., but the gift of apostleship in the life of the Apostle John probably continued until his death in 117 A.D. I hope that helps you for a little sake of review there. Apostleship, God used apostles for recording his word. The last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. So we discover then, point three, that apostleship was a gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit in these individuals' lives at the point of salvation. Number four, this gift was designed to carry the church until the completion of the New Testament canon. You have to really be sure that you clearly get in your mind that the gift of apostleship was designed to carry the church until the completion of the canon of Scripture. I'm thinking about your mind right now, and I trust that your mind is functioning to the point that you're able to fully comprehend and see that God used individuals magnificently in the pre-canon period before the New Testament was completed. This gift was designed to carry the church until the completion of the canon of Scripture. So we discover then, number five, church age apostles were actually not appointed until after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, we must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. I'm letting you think. We must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. The Jewish age is presented to us in Matthew chapter 10. Apostles to the church presented to us in our scripture we're studying now, Ephesians 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so forth. I repeat number six because I want you to be sure that in your mind you're able to comprehend. We must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. One of the most beautiful things that you and I can see is how fantastic the Word of God has been preserved for us. And how we're able to see that beginning with Genesis chapter 12, there's an emphasis upon Abram, who became Abraham, and the beginning of the age of Israel. All of you, I believe, have that in your mind. Beginning with Genesis chapter 12, you have the beginning of the age of Israel. And you follow the age of Israel all the way through the rest of the Old Testament writings into the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and a lot of John. We discover that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, where did Jesus Christ go? To whom did he go? He went to the Jews. When the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was converted, where did he go first? He went to the Jews. Many people don't see that. Many people are confused because they take the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they try to take and use those verses of Scripture in those Synoptic Gospels and transfer it into Age of Israel, information that is now being placed over into the Church Age information. Did you follow what I'm saying? Amen. Let me say it a little differently. You cannot take the writings of Matthew and Mark and Luke, which is Age of Israel information, and utilize that as Church Age information. When you get into the Gospel of John, you will discover that there are many things there that have to do with the Age of Israel information and some that's beautifully presented to the Church Age. We must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. We find Jewish information. We find information related to the apostles of Israel in Matthew, apostles to the church, in Ephesians. Number seven. This gift of apostleship exercised authority over all local churches. We've got to get this in our thinking. The gift of apostleship exercised authority over all local churches. Rome, Ephesus, Colossians, so forth. Number eight, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. What we discover when we go to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and 1 Corinthians 9:1, and 1 Corinthians 15:8 and 9, We have an emphasis upon what was experienced by Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. What is so magnificent is that we see a roster of the apostles in the book of Luke, and I'm going to come to that in a few moments. The roster of the apostles, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. A roster of the apostles, Luke 6, 12 through 16. And I put in parentheses here for you to see, apostles to Israel, who became apostles to the church. You have to look at two different passages of Scripture here to see this. In Luke 6, 12, 13 through 16, we have an emphasis on the apostles to Israel, who became apostles to the church. And their coming into the apostleship of the church is presented to us magnificently in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the reason why we have this verse of Scripture that we're looking at today. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers. I have to tell you that this is something that means so much to me, and that is to be able to see the difference between the age of Israel on the one hand and the age of grace, the church age, on the other hand. Amen. We've seen this time and time again, but many times I'm afraid we don't see it clearly and we don't comprehend what all is taking place. We discover that when you go into the book of Ephesians, we have the Apostle Paul here writing to the Ephesians and writing to us, wanting us to be able to see how God transferred things over a period of time and how he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherd teachers, with the emphasis upon what took place in relationship to the gifts that are given to the people of the age of grace. I did not bring all this information, but plan to give you more information in relationship to the fact that in this period of time known as the age of grace, from Pentecost, we see things taking place. We see the first part of the church age. We see the presentation of temporary spiritual gifts. We find our way all the way over to 96 A.D., 117 A.D., and we find ourselves then in the post-canon period of time, where there is an emphasis on the spiritual gifts that are designed for all of that time taking place after 96 A.D. or 117 A.D. We'll have time as we move along to get into a discussion and a presentation of the spiritual gifts of the post-canon period. What I want to emphasize, and I'm trying to summarize in my own thinking the best way to do this. We discover that when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go to that passage with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice, if you will, we're going to see, beginning with verse 8. Love never fails. Where there are gifts, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect, which you can write there, perfect, completed canon of Scripture. This 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture that I've ever come across, because it explains so much and solves a lot of problems that people are who find themselves so confused in relationship to various temporary spiritual gifts. Let me read it to you again. Verse 8. Love, the system which God has ordained, completed canon of Scripture, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. The words actually in the New Testament Greek says they will be hissed off the stage. They will be moved out. I want you to be sure that you understand that. Notice, if you will, please. Love, the love gift, the love system, when the Apostle Paul is telling us in the last verse of the preceding chapter, chapter 12, he says, I show you a more excellent way. You have to be able to see the difference between what is presented in the last verse of chapter 12 and the first verse of chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is wanting us to see, God is wanting us to see through the Apostle Paul, that there are many things that were legitimate and great and wonderful and right. And when their purpose had been completed, they were hissed off the stage. There were certain temporary spiritual gifts. We're going to get into it more in detail as we move along. Certain temporary spiritual gifts, bona fide, beautiful, right, according to God's plan. But they had a purpose, and when that purpose had been completed, they then were hissed off the stage. That's the reason why it's interesting, and I had this on my desk to get to, but wondered whether I should, but I will. I had 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul says, Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick. Now, just your casual reading of that is not going to tell you what this is saying. There were temporary spiritual gifts, such as the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, various others. They served their purpose. And when they completely served their purpose, God took them out, so that we could move into an understanding that when the Word of God had been consummated in 96 AD, that the temporary spiritual gifts, which were good and right and bona fide, but served their purpose, they were moved off the stage. A lot of people have studied the Word of God for years and have not come to that conclusion, have not been able to see that. The Apostle Paul, after conversion, had certain spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts were designed, because the Bible, New Testament, had not been completed. They were designed for him and others as credit cards to show and prove that these individuals, by their ministries, these were legitimate ministries. So I classify this, and I'm putting it in my own words. There were spiritual gifts, pre-canon spiritual gifts, that were given to individuals. And you'll find it in the New Testament, and don't let it confuse you, because they were used as credit cards to assure individuals at that time to know that these individuals, like the Apostle Paul, was a legitimate man of God. He had, for instance, the temporary spiritual gift of healing. I'm showing you on the scripture now, on the screen, 2 Timothy 4:20, where he said, Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick. Are you able to see what I'm showing you here? What you're able to see is that a bona fide, legitimate, magnificent, wonderful spiritual gift, which was a temporary gift, magnificently given, beautifully directed by the Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture is showing us that there came a point of time when that spiritual gift, which was a temporary spiritual gift, was hissed off the stage. If you're hearing this and you're getting it, you're going to be able to see a lot of other things that we'll be showing you in coming days. All right. Love never fails. Verse 8. Stay with me. Listen. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, we'll be talking about that later on, it shall be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the completed canon arrives, then the partial will be done away. Why would you need something that has fulfilled its purpose and been completed? Am I degrading the gift of tongues? Am I degrading the gift of prophecy? Am I degrading any of these spiritual gifts that were temporary spiritual gifts? No, of course not. You put it down when God had a reason and a purpose for a spiritual gift. It was bona fide. It was right. It was holy. It was as it should be. But God lets us know that there are things that take place, such as temporary spiritual gifts, that serve their purpose. And when those had been consummated, they were hissed off the stage. One of the most confusing things in today's churches is in relationship to tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, and those things. And the reason why people have difficulty with this is because they are not able to see what is being presented to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He is saying to us in the last verse of chapter 12, I want you all to understand, I'm showing you a more excellent way. And I began the first session today in that wonderful first session this morning by giving you information, a relationship to the completed canon of Scripture. I want you to know I get excited about this because I'm afraid people do not understand or comprehend the true meaning of the teachings of the Word of God, especially in relationship to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 and following. Preacher, it's time for you to shut up. Okay, I'm going to do it. On Wednesday night, I'm going to come back to this same subject. And I want all of us to be able to have an open mind, an open heart, to be able to see the timeline and be able to see the church age and be able to see those first times of temporary spiritual gifts. Don't minimize temporary spiritual gifts. Don't minimize those. But don't take temporary spiritual gifts and pull them over into the church age in the post-canon period and try to make all of those things fit in the post-canon age of the church. You follow what I'm saying there? Please, please, over these next weeks, give attention to the communication. And I'm going to try to explain this because it means so much to me and it should mean so much to every born-again believer. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the way that you bless us, and thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the way that you've used believers through the years and through the periods of time when we see how effective and beautiful and magnificent those temporary spiritual gifts were. Help us to see where we are now. Help us see the plan of God in relationship to the gifts that are designed for our age. Help us to really see this clearly. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.